You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast as we get ready to preview the USPGA Championship. I am Dave Kellner and I'm joined by a former European Tour professional and regular Sky Sports pundit, Jamie Spence, as always, ahead of a major week. First of all, a good afternoon to you, Jamie.
Good afternoon, David. Yes, another major comes up pretty quick after the Open, but looking forward to it.
And on the back of a winning selection in the Open Championship as well, with Jordan Spieth doing the business for you. He was your main tip just 3 weeks ago in the Open Championship. And it was a special finish from a special player.
Yeah, I was on the course with him, David, every round, actually. And I was with him all the way on Sunday. I even went over on that sand dune on 13. So I saw some stunning golf from him. And I don't know, I just had a feeling for him that week. You know, sometimes you sort of can be a bit vague about who you fancy. But no, I was pretty strong on him, to be honest with you, all week. He just looked like he was primed. Let's hope we can find another one this week.
What impressed you most about Spieth's game? Because obviously that finish was simply sensational. His iron play is always superb. I know he's people talk about his putting, but his iron play has just been brilliant this season.
I tell you what, he can get it out there as well when he wants to with the driver. It's the way he thinks under pressure. He's very calm. And the sign of great players is they just produce shots when they need to. And he seemed to do that every round, you know. He just pulled something out. I followed him in the rain on the Friday and he eagled 15, hold a good putt there, you know, and he just pulled his round around and he just does some extraordinary things as we all witnessed on Sunday afternoon.
Let's talk about the USPGA Championship then and the betting here with William Hill. We are going seven places on the USPGA, fifth of the odds, and Rory McIlroy is the 7-1 favourite. Jordan Spieth 9-1, Hideki Matsuyama is 11-1, Dustin Johnson is 12-1, Ricky Fowler is 16s, Brooks Koepka 25-1, John Rahm is 28-1, and it's 30-1, and bigger the remainder. Start with the golf course, Jamie. Quail Hollow is the host venue in North Carolina, and this golf course has been hosting a regular PGA Tour event each and every year, the Wells Fargo Championship, since 2003. Give us an idea about how the golf course is going to play and its suitability for the players this week.
Well, they're all talking Rory up because of the way he drives it. You've got to drive it really well around Quail Hollow. It's 7,600 yards par 71, so it's pretty long. They've redesigned quite a few of the holes as well, about four of the holes since they last played there. But the last three holes are called the Green Mile. They don't add up to a mile, but they're supposed to be the toughest finish in tournament golf. So at the end of your round, just when you're flagging, you've got to cope with two very long par fours and a long par three with water everywhere. So yeah, it's a spectacular course in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Fowler's won round there. As I say, Rory's won twice there. Spieth's only played there once, actually, and he was tied 32nd. So it's not for everyone.
And you mentioned the yardage, Jamie, in the build-up to the championship, and it's supposed to be during the championship as well. The forecast is pretty unsettled, so it could play or feel even longer than the actual yardage.
Well, yeah, this time in America, it's so humid. You get all the thunderstorms and the rain comes in. And the only thing is, though, when it gets softer, it's going to play into Rory's hands more, I feel, on the longer hitters because it plays wider. The ball won't roll into the long rough, but saying that, if you do miss the fairways, you're going to struggle to reach the green. So no, it's considered a fantastic golf course, and it'll be a good watch, albeit not on Sky, David, I'm afraid.
No, it's not, is it? Which is a shame. McIlroy is the 7-1 market leader here. Jamie, you've talked about him having a good record around Quail Hollow, and he's won the PGA Championship twice as well. He was being pretty guarded about the caddy situation. Him and JP Fitzgerald have parted company since the Open Championship, and Harry Diamond will be on the bag in the short term. He's not really spoken openly about their separation, Jamie.
No, well, I think it was coming. These things run the course of time, and I don't think it's a surprise amongst the golfing fraternity there's been a split. They're very good friends. They always will be. But you just feel that maybe Rory needed something else on the golf course, another voice to listen to, and that happens. No disrespect to JP. And he's now got a diamond on the bag. There's some name, isn't there? So I don't know how long he'll last. What would concern me was when, with Rory particularly, is he just wants to hit the driver virtually everywhere. And sometimes his club selection off the tee, for me, is questionable. He doesn't need to force things too much, but whether Harry Diamond can step in and just give him some words of advice, because he only needs to do it once or twice in a tournament, but it can be very important. So we'll see how that one progresses. But this course suits Rory better than anybody.
Do you think that's factored into that price at 7-1?
Definitely, yeah, because he's still got a little bit of a point to prove, hasn't he? He's played much better recently. He's had a very disrupted season with injury and everything else. So the fourth place at the Open was good. And last week he continued well, fifth there. Playing well. So I don't think you can leave him out of your calculations, no doubt.
Jordan Spieth is the only other player at a single figure price here with William Hill. He's 9-1 in the betting, Jamie. Just turned 24 years old and has the opportunity this week to complete the career Grand Slam, which is just would be an incredible achievement.
Yeah, he'll be about 6 months younger than when Tiger did it. There's only five players who've completed the career Grand Slam of golf. That's Tiger, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Gene Sarazen, and Ben Hogan. So it's an illustrious list. But bear in mind that Tom Watson and Arnold Palmer never won a USPGA to complete their career Grand Slam. He's got a bit all to do, hasn't he, Spieth? It'd be a fairy story. But he's only played here once. I can't see him doing it on this golf course. I really can't.
Okay, 9-1, Jordan Spieth.
He hits too many. Just think that driver sometimes misbehaves, and I don't think he came around here.
Okay, Spieth at 9-1, not for you, Jamie. What about Hideki Matsuyama in the betting at 11-1? He destroyed the field in the WGC at Firestone on Sunday. He's been absolutely smashed in the market subsequently, Jamie. Many people think this is the perfect setup for Matsuyama as well. He's into 11-1.
I can't disagree with him, can you? He's your favourite player. You must be on him, that's for sure.
I'm not sure I can get involved at 11-1, Jamie, but he's got an outstanding chance, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got to. He's forming the majors, 11th at Augusta, runner-up in the US Open, we forget, and a decent 14th place in the Open, so he's been consistent all year. He was fourth in last year's PGA Championship, number one player on the FedEx list. You can read on and on and on. He's won two World Championship events now in this current season, so he's banging form. What concerns me is following up such a great performance going into a big major like this. It's a tough ask, actually, to do it week back to back. Very, very, very difficult.
And there's a lot of pressure on him, isn't there, as well, with the entourage that follow him in a major championship. He must have one of the biggest followings on tour in terms of media coverage. There's that expectation now that he's got to burden.
Yeah, no Japanese players won a major, and you're right. Whenever you're out there on the golf course following these great players around, there's American commentators and British and whatever, but the Japanese contingent is huge. They have photographers. He'll have his own couple of photographers following him for the whole day, not following the tournament, just following him, and they'll have a camera crew following him the whole day. So you're right. He's really in the eye of the public there, and that's not easy to cope with. So I'd rather him come in here quietly, and I think you're fancying them, but he's going to be the talk of the town, and that could count against him.
What about Dustin Johnson at 12-1, Jamie? What do you make to his chance?
I'm not having him at all. Might be number one in the world and great talent, but his form, he played okay in Canada, came eighth after the Open, and 17th at Bridgestone was respectable, but He's played here three times and he's missed the cut twice. So I don't know. You couldn't have any confidence in tipping or backing Dustin Johnson as talented as he is. Since the Masters, when he pulled out, having fallen down the stairs, he's not been the same player. So not for me at all.
Ricky Fowler is 16-1. Jamie, you've mentioned on a couple of these podcasts that we've recorded that until Ricky Fowler does it, he's not going to be carrying any of your cash. Does that sentiment still apply at 16s?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sort of looking through all the stats with Fowler, and it matches up well on this course, and he's won here. Yeah, you know, I'm reluctant to tip Ricky, but his performance in the majors has been decent. 11th at the Masters, 5th at the US Open. Bad last round there, wasn't it, US Open?
Mm.
Had a big chance, 72. And he had a bad round in the last round of the Masters, 76 as well. So he's put himself in there, Ricky. He has one round Quail Hollow. So he's playing so consistently that maybe this might be the course for him.
Brooks Koepka is next in the betting at 25-1, the winner of the US Open. And didn't play between then and the Open Championship, which you commented on the Open podcast we recorded, Jamie, and said that was a slight negative. But he still finished 6th at Royal Birkdale. Last 4 major championships, tied 4th, tied 11th, a win, and a tie for 6th. And he's actually finished top 25 in 9 of the last 10 majors now, which is just exceptional.
Yeah, you're right. And I think there was fairly decent conditions at the weekend for him at Birkdale, which helped him. And he's long, he's very confident, he looks very comfortable as a major champion. You can see him, he's almost walking a foot taller when he walks down the fairway as well. Hits the ball a mile. Never played Quail Hollow, interestingly, Koepka. So that's not going to help him, I don't think. It certainly helps if you play the course in different conditions. But he's such a talent that you just can't rule him out.
It's undergone major changes, hasn't it, Quail Hollow as well, since the Wells Fargo was last there back in 2016. Played at a different time of year as well. Might be a lot softer than it has been previously. And the rough's down, I think, this year as well. Are you putting a massive stock in course form? Do you think it's hugely significant this week?
Well, I think it's always fairly significant, David, if you've played a golf course in different conditions. I mean, Rory's won twice at Quail Hollow and he's lost in a playoff. So there's obviously a reason for that. The course suits his eye. You know, when you stand on some tees, it suits you. You go to other courses and it just doesn't. So I do put a lot of stock in course form. Yeah, it's not the be-all and end-all, but it certainly helps.
John Rahm is next in the betting at 28-1. He hasn't played Quail Hollow either. This should suit him more than the test of the Open Championship. If you're looking to build a golf course that would fit John Rahm, this might be it.
Yeah, I agree with that. But overhyped, definitely. I think we build these players up too quickly. He's turning into a super player. Won on the PGA Tour, won the Irish easily. And the weather there wasn't very good, was it? Was it? So what was the excuse at Birkdale? None. And his major record of 27th missed cut and 44th this year doesn't stack up with Koepka and Fowler and others, does it, in the field, and Matsuyama. So I think we're expecting a little too much of John Rahm. But I do agree with you, this course will help him because of the power he possesses.
And the only other one shorter than 40-1 in the betting is Jason Day, who's 30-1. His form hasn't quite been there this season. He's had issues off the course and they've affected his performance on the course, Jamie.
Yeah, I can't have him either. You know, 27th at the Open, 24th last week. Doesn't exactly jump out at you as somebody who's going to, you know, win the US PGA Championship. Well, the last two, he's won in 2015 and made Jimmy Walker par the last year to win with that great eagle. But he's not the same player, is he? No way is he the same player. So I couldn't tip him at all.
And it's 40-1, bar the 8 names we've mentioned, Jamie. Throw some others at us that maybe are overpriced.
I couldn't have Sergio Garcia. I just don't think he's played. He's made loads of cuts since he won the Masters, but apart from the BMW International, I can't remember him being in contention. And his last five USPGAs have been pretty awful. Matt Kuchar, what's he going to do after that Open performance, his first week back? Is he long enough around here? Probably not. Justin Rose, I don't think he doesn't seem to be playing well enough, Justin. He doesn't seem to be able to get himself on the leaderboard. Who else is there? Justin Thomas, who I thought would go well last week, but he seems to have tailed off. You've got to think Paul Casey seems to be on leaderboards regularly. He's got to have a chance. As have a few other Americans as well. Daniel Berger and Charlie Hoffman come to my mind. So the four I don't fancy are Garcia, Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose and Jason Day. They're the four I don't like.
Okay, Jamie, let's get your picks then for the USPGA Championship.
Well, David, this is not... I've got a selection of about four or five players, but I'm not allowed four or five players, am I? So I'm gonna go with my main selection as Ricky Fowler. I think he's played so well all the season. His stats read really, really well. And a course that he likes, I think this is a golden chance for him. My second pick would be Charlie Hoffman. This tournament seems to lend itself to players at the later stages of their career, I'd have to say, to win this event. Go back to Jeff Sluman, Bob Tway, Mark Brooks, David Toms, Rich Beam, that sort of ilk. And he's one of them, and he's playing well, Charlie Hoffman. And my third selection would be a saver on Rory McIlroy, because you can't leave him out. It'd be too easy to tip Rory. My main pick is Fowler, bit of each way on Hoffman, and a saver on Rory.
Very good. Ricky Fowler 16-1, Charlie Hoffman in the betting at 40-1, and Rory McIlroy heading the market at 7-1. We have a whole range of markets on the William Hill website, as per usual, for the USPGA Championship. Have any of the supporting markets caught the eye at all, Jamie?
Well, yeah, they have. But before we go there, I want to know what your tip is.
I'm against the top end of the market at the prices, in all honesty. The guy that I like best is Henrik Stenson, actually, at 50-1.
I wouldn't rule him out.
Yeah, he's got no course form at all, Henrik Stenson, but I think that's factored into the price. And you look at a guy that peaks at this time of year. Stenson's the man, isn't he, in terms of USPGA Championship form?
And he's playing better.
Yes.
Played well at the Open. A really good defence of his Open Championship, you know, and he's playing well. So you're right, he's on an upward curve, no doubt.
Yeah, 50-1.
Regarding the other markets, 50-1, that's price, isn't it? Regarding the other markets, top Englishman, why not Paul Casey? He just does not going away, is he? He's on every leaderboard. He seems to have a bit of trouble winning the events. But I can certainly see him finishing in the top eight, and I think he's a good bet in that market.
Yeah, 9-2 he is, Paul Casey, to be a top Englishman in the betting. We didn't talk about this before coming onto the podcast, Jamie, so I don't know what the answer is here, but have you got a three-ball bet or not?
I have not got a three-ball bet, but I've got a top Dane bet.
Oh, okay.
Torbjørn Olesen is playing some super stuff, and he's about the 11-10 price against Thomas Bjorn and Søren Kjeldsen. Thomas, yeah, he's not played brilliant this year, and Kjeldsen, this has got to be too long for Søren. So if Olesen drives the ball well, he'll win that easy.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I like that price a lot on Torbjørn Olesen at 11-10, because as you mentioned, this course for Kjeldsen, not the perfect setup for him at all, is it really?
Well, I was thinking of putting Olesen as top Scandinavian, but then he's up against Stenson, your man Stenson, and a few others in there who just might challenge him. So I think he's better off to reduce that to the top 10.
Yeah, he's made his last seven cuts as well, Torbjørn Olesen, and finished 10th when last seen last week. So, yeah, looks good. Olesen 11-10 in the market to be the top Dane here with William Hill. Jamie, good luck. Enjoy the USPGA Championship, and we'll catch up over the weekend.
Looking forward to it, David.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.